Hey y'all, time once again for the movie retrospective. And once again, we're covering a movie that was sent to us by Rob, who sends us a lot of movies. So thank you very much, Rob. Now, this was one that, I mean, it's a Krussell movie.
Yep, Krussell starred in this shit. In this shit, fucking front and center. And this movie impressed me. This is an awesome flick. On par with, like, Duel. The movie Duel. Or maybe, like, The Hitcher.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, almost kind of like, maybe like The Hills Have Eyes.
Gave me a little bit of The Vanishing vibe, too.
Yeah.
Or Sporlos, if you want to go
by that. About a guy and his wife. He's from Boston. They're going out. They're trying to get to California. They got to go across the desert, and they run into a bit damn pack of wild men. It's like a trucker and a bunch of dudes from a town that are helping him, and they're just killing people and taking their shit. And it's a whole professional operation. And Krussell has to rescue his wife. And so it's just a good flick. Constant action, not a single boring part in the movie. And you're just frustrated because this guy's helpless all the time. You know, but he's trying to get her back. They took his wife. Yeah, pretty neat.
It's called, this came out in 1997. It's called Breakdown, in case we didn't say. Yeah. And it's really strange because when this came out, I don't remember when this came out, even though I was going to the movies a lot during
late
this
90s.
Time period. Yeah. But I don't really remember this coming out. But apparently it was like a really, really big hit. Not only did it make like a lot of money, like it debuted first at the box office, but it also like 80-90% of the reviews were overwhelmingly positive. Like it got really, really good reviews. Roger Ebert gave it a really good review. Like it got pretty much all good reviews.
But I never heard about it. This is like a forgotten masterpiece.
Yeah. And it's really weird. It's like, so when we were watching it, I was like, you know, I think I might have seen this like maybe on cable, or maybe somebody loaned it to me or something like that, because some of the scenes looked really familiar, but I don't know. So I don't know if I actually saw it and just forgot about it, or if I was like confusing it with another movie, or I don't know. But so it was like a really weird experience, like seeing it. And the weird thing about it is that even though it was a big hit in 97, it's like, I feel like people have completely forgotten about it nowadays, and it's awesome.
Yeah, really good movie.
It's so good. Yeah. It's like one of the like most tense fucking movies like you will ever sit through. It's like nail biting.
Yeah, the action's good, the acting is good, the story's good, Krussell's great in it. There's even like a couple little car chase type scenes where it's like on par with like maybe Mad Max 1 or 2, you know?
Yeah, it's like all practical effects, like car crashes and like all kind of crazy shit.
Yeah, pretty neat.
And like all the stunt work is amazing.
Can't go wrong with this one.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
And so it was directed by Jonathan Mostow, or Mostow? I'm not sure how you pronounce it. This was his first movie, amazingly. But sadly, it seems like he didn't really, I mean, as awesome as this movie is, it's like the movies that he did after this were just like not as good. It's like he did
His peak.
He did U-571, which was like that submarine movie, which I remember being okay.
That's all right, yeah.
He did Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
That was okay.
You know, so it seemed like he just peaked early, and then like it's kind of a shame that happened. But I also wanted to say, too, that the same guy that did the score for Conan the Barbarian also did the score for this movie.
Okay.
Basil Polidorus.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that Conan fucking soundtrack is awesome. This the soundtrack to this is good, but it's nowhere near as epic as Conan.
Yeah, well, it's a different type of movie. I mean, that was a fantasy movie. You can get away with a lot more. It's like with this, this had kind of a like a really compelling like action movie type of score.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like this because this is obviously much later than, Kurt Russell playing, like, Snake Plissken and those type of, like, action movie characters.
Yeah.
In this one, he's kind of playing,
he's playing a wussy, actually.
Yeah, or just, like, a regular dude who's not, like, a fucking action star. And he's a little bit of a yuppie.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of, it's like he's got, like, the, the Izod shirt or whatever. Like,
he starts off as a puss, but he mans up.
Yeah, like in his expensive car.
He has to save his wife.
Yeah. Also, the wife is played by Kathleen Quinlan, who I knew her from Twilight Zone, the movie. She played like the teacher in the Anthony sending people into the cornfield thing. Yeah. And she was, I think she was also in I Never Promised You a Rose Garden, which was a good movie too. But yeah, and also J.T. Walsh is in this playing one of the villains. This was actually, I think it was his last movie. I think he died not too long after this came out. Hmm. That dude's been in fucking everything, man. Yeah. He was in A Few Good Men. He was in Good Morning Vietnam. He was in Sling Blade. Yeah. He was in fucking Nixon, Pleasantville. Like, he's been in all kind of shit. And so, with kind of the star power of this movie and how fucking epic and awesome it is, it's just, it floors me that it seems like it's kind of forgotten about.
Yeah, I don't know why.
It's like I was looking at YouTube to see if anybody else had reviewed it. Off the shelf reviews, it's like two British guys. And they usually do like a really long, I think they did like a 45-minute, you know, review of this movie because they really dug it. That was one of the really only substantial ones that I found. Like, some, there were some like blogs and stuff that had done like reviews of it, but it really seems to have like kind of fallen through the cracks, and that's really sort of a shame because
it's wild.
It's, yeah, it's because it's really, really good. Like I said, the tension is so good. And Kurt Russell, I think, is like, well, he's usually like the best part of any movie that he's in. I mean, yeah. Let's be honest.
This is
that.
One of his best movies.
It is, because. Yeah. Because you really buy that he's just kind of this regular, you know, yuppie-ish kind of dude. He's driving this really expensive Jeep Cherokee that he just bought. They don't go a lot into, I mean, basically what the setup is that they're moving from Boston and they've got new jobs in San Diego, California. There is an implication that there might be some kind of financial difficulty, which hence why they're moving, or that there might be some tension between the two of them, like between the couple. But they don't really like go into it. It's all just really subtle and like really, and which I think is really good because, you know, they don't like smack you over the head with like, oh, they're having financial problems, or oh, this, that, and the other thing. It's just they don't spend a lot of time on that.
The movie is not dialogue heavy.
It's really not.
And that's its strength.
Yeah.
It's just real common sense, no nonsense. One thing happens after another and dude has to deal with it. That's what it's about.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So you really kind of get into his character, it, you know, in the sense of he's not, you know, Snake Plissken. He's not any, he's just this guy who's driving this expensive fucking Jeep, and he's a little bit clueless about, you know, and he's driving across. This was actually shot in, some of it's in Southern California, some of it's Utah, some of it's Arizona. So they're driving across and there's like fucking nothing around. And this is 1997. Like, he has like a, one of those old, like bulky cell phones, but of course, you know, it doesn't really work, and it's like out in the middle of the fucking desert. And the great thing about this too is that it almost has a little bit of a Twilight Zone type of thing, at least at first, because, you know, with the whole setup, like, the first thing that happens, they're just driving along the road and he's like kind of distracted. He's like looking for something in the backseat or some shit like that. And then some, you know, some redneck in like a beat up old truck, like kind of pulls out in front of him and he almost hits him, but he doesn't hit him. And then like later on at a gas station, like that same guy is there and he's like super hostile and everything.
Yeah, fucking with him.
Yeah, and he's like fucking with him and shit. And, you know, talking about how nice his truck is and all this other kind of crap, which is like brand new and stuff. Right. So then, like, further down the road, inexplicably, the car breaks down, and they see, it's great because, like, they see the redneck in the truck go past, and then he goes way down there, and then he's, like, starts to turn around, and they're like, oh, shit, now he's gonna come back and, like, fuck with us now because he was so mad before. And then J.T. Walsh comes along in his big old semi. And seems very helpful.
Yeah, don't spoil it, though.
I'm just saying. It's like, but then, like, then this whole thing happens. Why it reminds me a little bit of The Vanishing is because, I mean, at the beginning of The Vanishing, if you've never seen it, where it's like, it's a guy and his girlfriend, like, on a road trip. They stop at a gas station. She goes to the gas station bathroom, and then she disappears. And, like, so the whole rest of the movie is, like, him trying to find out where she went. And then it's, like, years and years, and he never does. And at the end, I'm not going to spoil the end, but they let you know, like, where she ended up.
With this one, he basically runs into a band of fucking desert bandits.
Is essentially what they... And it's like this little town that you don't... Yeah. That's the creepy thing, and that's what I mean is where it kind of comes off like the Twilight Zone a little bit, or like Duel or something like that, because you feel like...
You feel like it's a whole town, but you don't
know. Yeah, and you don't know. Like, you don't know who to trust, and it's like, you know, some of the people, maybe they can be trusted, maybe not. You're not really sure. It's like you're not sure who's in on it and who's not in on it. And so it's like, it's just this really, really good, like, tense kind of, and you can like feel like Kurt Russell's character. I see his name's Jeff, I think Jeff Taylor. And, you know, such a really milquetoast kind of name. And, you know, more for a Kurt Russell character. Yeah. So it's like, so you can just feel his frustration because everywhere he goes, it's like, is this person in on it too? And it's like, he just doesn't know what happens and like happened and everyone is like stonewalling him. And it's just like this, his just frustration, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then he just has to like figure out, you know, he's been thrust into this situation where he has no idea. He's never had to experience anything like this. Yeah, so this he just has to kind of.
This is like two people that just got kicked out of Wellesley, Massachusetts. Right? They're like from Wellesley and they have to fucking deal with these. It's Arizona. I think it was Arizona.
I think it was Arizona where they, well, like I said, they shot it in Arizona, Utah, California, but I think it was supposed to be Arizona.
Yeah, I remember the plates. I think the plates were the car, where license plates were Arizona. So he's in the middle of Arizona with these people that are fucking hostile. And he's trying to figure out how to deal with it. It's just a good flick.
Yeah, and there's, like, nothing he do. And like I said, there's just tension just mounts and mounts and mounts. And, like, it gets more and more complex. Like,
yeah, they're on a totally different planet from this guy.
Yeah, like, who all is in on it and shit. And then I have to say, I'm not going to spoil, like, the very last shot. Or, like, the what happens at the very, very, very end.
Yeah.
But... you know, I've seen like a couple of people say, you know, they didn't really need to do that because it was like a little too much and everything like that.
No, I
loved it. I thought it was great. Like, I was like, yeah, right. You know,
it
what I
was
mean?
In a way, kind of a stereotypical ending. For the late 90s, but it was a really good one. That's what the audience wanted.
Yeah.
That's what the audience of the late 90s wanted.
That's what they gave. And I didn't really think that it was over the top or not believable or anything like that.
Kind of reminded me of, like I said, kind of reminded me of Duel or maybe like The Car. The demonic car. Kind of reminded me of a movie. You know, it took place a lot in a desert.
Yeah.
A lot of driving, you know, and a lot of survival. It was like an action adventure survival movie.
And to me, it seemed good. It was just as suspenseful as Duel, I thought.
Yeah.
And like I said, it had a lot of the Hitcher in it as well.
Yeah.
Just in the sense of the villains, and you weren't really sure who was the villains or who was like all in on this shit, and you know what I mean. Some of them were really menacing, and some of them not so much. And you
a little
weren't
bit
really
like
sure.
The Hills Have Eyes, the original Hills Have
Eyes. Yeah,
it's
they weren't
fucking inbred fucking.
Yeah, they
wild
were just
men,
like kind of regular.
They were just regular people, but they were wild too. They were kind of like bandits or pirates.
Yeah,
you know,
and particularly J.T. Walsh's character, I think, like he was like the best one in it. I think, like other than Kurt Russell, because he was like a very complex kind of character, and he was just like such a great actor. And it's a shame that he like fucking died right after this came out, because he didn't really seem all that old in this.
That's
movie.
That's the main bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good in it.
The trucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like I said, it was like a really interesting, like a very nuanced.
Had a kind of a Wild West feel to the movie,
yeah,
too.
That as well. But yeah, it's like it's just really, really, really good. And it's just a shame that I really appreciate Rob sending it to us, because I probably never would have sought it out on my own, because, you know, it's like I saw so many movies in the 90s. I very well might have seen it and just forgotten about it for whatever reason.
It's almost kind of like a Cowboys and Indian movies where you got greenhorns falling into the hands of wild Apaches.
Yeah, it's kind of like
that.
It's that
same kind of dynamic, but...
Yeah, it does have a little bit of a Western type of feel.
It's kind of like a spinoff on that. But they weren't Indians, of course. They were just regular white people from the fucking desert. And they were fucking... I think they were fucking criminals. You know, they were like pirates.
A little bit like Deliverance, too.
A little bit like Deliverance, yeah.
I mean, not quite that extreme, but you know what I mean?
They were like that.
That type of thing where it's like, hey, you're city folk and you're not supposed to be around here. We're just going to like...
Well, they were making a living off of fucking people over.
Yeah, well, you know, because...
It was normal to them.
Well, yeah, because they live out in the middle of nowhere and they're just like, hey, every now and then, like some rich person... Or upper middle class person drives through here like on a road trip and it's like, no one's ever going to look for them or nothing.
We wouldn't be able to find them out there.
And wouldn't be able to find them in the desert, so... Yeah. I'm surprised.
Shit like that used to happen, of course.
Well, yeah.
It may still be going on.
Yeah. I'm sure it's probably less nowadays, but...
It's kind of based on the old ideas of those old inns, where people would check into an inn and they would never would check out. The ones on those roads.
Like a rich motel. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and then they would just erase the fucking ledger. or have them sign in on a bad ledger.
Ooh, we never saw
them. And then never saw them, yeah. And
they then must they have got eaten by later. Coyotes or something.
Yeah, and then investigations. This had all happened, you know, back in the 1800s and stuff. Then they'd find out, you know, 100 people came up missing through this hotel.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's this fucking ends. Creepy. Yeah. Well, and like even up through like the 70s and 80s and shit like that.
Stuff like that was happening, yeah.
You know, and you, probably more the 60s and 70s because people were like hitchhiking out to California.
Yeah.
Man, they find bodies in the desert all the time. Yeah. And a lot of them are like not identified.
They don't know who it is.
Because they don't know who sees. It was just somebody that took off. It's like, hey, I'm going to San Francisco. Like, because they're a hippie or something like that. And they never fucking find them.
They had that serial killer that was taking, that photographer serial killer taking models out there to do photo shoots and fucking killing them.
Yeah.
Remember that dude?
That's what I mean. Just, yeah. Don't ever get in a car with anybody.
So it was a situation kind of like that.
Yeah. So it's like, that's, it's scary because it could totally happen. Yeah. Like, even nowadays.
Yeah.
Because even in 1997, he had a cell phone, but it still didn't fucking work.
Didn't work out there, yeah.
You know what I mean? But he kind of, he rose to the challenge.
You could get around around cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, we're using ruses and guns. You know, you could get around cell phones today. I'm sure stuff like that still happens.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Just probably not the scale that it used to, but.
That reminded me, when you were talking about the inns back in the old days, that reminded me of this, like, really scary story that I read. It was in one of those Alfred Hitchcock Presents, anthologies. I think it was called The Curious Adventure of Mr. Bond. Didn't have anything to do with James Bond. It was, like, older than that, I think. But it was just, like, this guy. And he was traveling to a series of three inns, and they all had these really, really weird names. Mm-hmm. And, like, the head of the traveler, the rest of the traveler, stuff like that. And it's, like, as the story, it's long. It's like a novella. And as the story goes on, you figure out, like, what the relationship is between, like, these three inns and, like, what they do with the people that stay there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking gross.
Well, they had inns even in England and stuff where they were involved in the illegal body trade. Remember that?
Yeah.
Killing people and then selling the bodies to the doctors.
I mean, that though, it's like, I kind of get, I'm not condoning it, but I'm saying that if you want people to be doctors, but then you have it be the law that you're not allowed to cut bodies up,
yeah,
then of course you're going to get a black market in that shit, right? Because I don't want some doctor cutting on me that's never cut on a real body before. He's like, well, I'm just winging it. I've just seen the drawings. You know what I mean? Maybe
we're getting very sidetracked off this movie, though. Anyway, I recommend the movie. I think the movie is a forgotten classic. It's a masterpiece. Should have been up there with, like, Duel.
Yeah, it's like, so hopefully, like, now that we're putting a fucking review of this up here, it's like,
some people will remember it.
We'll remember it and shit. Yeah. It might be, I think I saw that it was on Tubi.
Yeah, not available on Blu-ray. And I don't think they have a very good DVD transfers. I think Rob sent us the best DVD transfer.
And it doesn't have extras on it.
It's not no extras on it. It's not quite the right ratio for a modern television, but.
Yeah, because it was filmed in like that weird, I can't remember what the fucking aspect ratio is.
So this movie really needs a re-release. It needs a Blu-ray edition.
It really does. And it's like, they need to like fucking go interview Krussel and go interview like some of the other people that were in it.
And they don't make movies like this anymore. I mean, I think the audiences are hungry for movies like this now.
Because this is just like a good, like I said, it's
pure,
a good.
Pure adventure
tension
movie.
Filled, but it's not. Over the top. It's not like an action movie like Fast and the Furious where like just ridiculous shit is happening.
No, it's ridiculous. This is realistic.
Yeah, this is like a realistic.
Pretty realistic, yeah.
Yeah, there's some stuff that it's like, oh, you know, I'm not really sure about that. But it's like, it's not like it's supernatural theory. Or superheroes or doing anything like that. It's like fairly realistic situation. So, you know, if you're into movies like that, I should note that Time Out London, that magazine, they polled a bunch of film critics and directors and actors and stuff and stunt people, and they were asking them like what their favorite action movies were. This was back in 2014, and Breakdown got in the top 100. So some people remember it, obviously.
Right.
But yeah, the stunt work on this is fucking great. I don't know if Kressel did a lot of his own stunts. It looked like he did. I'm not sure.
Hanging from the side.
Like, hanging from, like, underneath a fucking semi and shit like that.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't fake.
But, yeah. So, definitely check this out. Breakdown from 1997. Really kind of a lost classic.
Yep.
And I just had a fucking blast watching this. I was just on the edge of my seat the whole fucking time. Yeah, and it's like, I totally wouldn't mind watching it a second time. So it might be on Tubi. Correct me if I'm wrong. So if you want to watch it for free, you can go on there and just watch it with a commercial or something like that.
You could probably stream it.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find it somewhere. Yeah. So yeah, definitely check it out.